Peter Van Onselen is the political editor for the Ten Network and a columnist with The Australian. He's in the studio with me this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Hamish. Good to see you.
Likewise. Let's start with the draft bill released in coming weeks. The Attorney General appears to have stared down some of the Conservatives in the party room. Do you see the likes of Barnaby Joyce and Concetta Fioravanti-Wells being satisfied by whatever he's come up with?
Probably not. But then I guess the next question is, what do they do about it? They'll make some noises. But as long as the Prime Minister and people like your previous guest, Dan Tehan, on the Conservative wing of the party are on board with what he's come up with, I think that they'll be able to stare down those backbenchers that have some issues with it. It's not like when the NEG was destroyed by a small cabal on the backbench who were able to be loud against Malcolm Turnbull. Scott Morrison has greater authority now. He's known to be highly religious himself. So he is the key here. I can't imagine that Christian Porter, or indeed the Cabinet, obviously would sign off on anything that the PM himself wasn't comfortable with. So I suspect there'll be dissidents, but they won't be too loud.
We've been talking a bit about the abortion debate in New South Wales on the program this morning. It's been in the news quite a bit. Your colleague at The Australian, Simon Benson's written about it today. The news poll showing that this New South Wales debate is dragging down support for the Morrison government. So there's a clear federal dimension. The vote has been delayed in the New South Wales upper house. Presumably the PM would have quite liked this to have been dealt with.
I think most Liberals, particularly moderate Liberals, would have liked it to be dealt with. But from a pragmatic sense, I think the PM, whether Simon's right or not in this overlapping on the polls at the federal level, I certainly think that it lingering on when there's almost an inevitability about it is not a good thing in the wider populace. But having said that, if it had been rammed through this week in the upper house, that might be something that sections of the Liberal Party would like, or it would take it off the agenda. But it would have left a lot of Conservatives deeply unhappy. There is an inevitability, I think, that this goes through. New South Wales, of course, is a laggard state when it comes to decriminalising abortion. But it sounds like, by delaying it, there will be amendments to the laws as they change.
You listened to that interview with Dan Tehan a few minutes ago. Where do you see the government wanting to get to in terms of the relationship between Australian universities and the Chinese state when it comes to research, even influencing students on the campuses? Is there a roadmap in the minds of our leaders at this point?
I think the only roadmap, you will have the disclaimer at the end of this discussion that I'm affiliated with the university sector as an academic. The only roadmap is their dependence on foreign student fees. You know, we are talking university-wide, more than one in four students is an overseas student. They are full fee paying students. In other words, they don't access HECS. There's no government subsidies. They are important to the subsidisation of universities. Universities have gone looking for higher than otherwise overseas student populations than what occurs in universities around the world. Much higher, in fact, when you look at Australia. The federal government needs that because they want that money to avoid them having to, if you like, increase the subsidisation of the sector, which is much higher in most other countries that are similar to Australia.
The simple fact is that these foreign students are paying to educate our kids.
They absolutely are. And I have to say this very quickly. There are real issues around English language with some foreign students, and there are ways around it if sectors and certain universities choose to allow that. This is a real issue.
We're running out of time, but very briefly and sadly, the former Deputy PM Tim Fischer is gravely ill.
He is. And I tell you what, he's one of those MPs where it's not just because he's gravely ill that people reflect fondly on his political career. He actually was one of those real old-fashioned nationals that was both highly competent but highly in touch. These days, you tend to either have competent and out of touch or very in touch, but shall we say perhaps not as competent. Tim Fischer was one of the good ones.
PVO, thank you.
Thank you.